Welcome to Hearing God with Gary and Jane Berry. Do you want to grow in your intimacy with Father God, Holy Spirit and Jesus? Join us as we share insights and practical tips that you can apply today. Hi, I'm Gary Berry, and together with my wife, Jane, we host Hearing God, a podcast that helps people to hear from God.
Hang on a minute, Gary. Just at the beginning, we probably need to let our listeners know that we have show notes. Some very good show notes, as a matter of fact.
Even if you do say so, who puts them together, Jane? You do, don't you?
On our website, on garyandjane.co, in the show notes is a detailed list of what we covered today. Also, the Bible verses mentioned and any resources or links. So it's really worth popping to the website at garyandjane.co and looking at those show notes. It just will help you, it's a fantastic resource.
No worries. So today we're looking at what to do when we have trouble hearing from God for myself. Or really, if you looked at it the other way, it'd be what strategies that can help us to move forward in our capacity to hear from God if we're feeling a little bit stuck. So first, let's share briefly how we've perhaps heard from God this week. Have you got an example that you'd want to share, Jane?
I actually do. Well, it's more I heard from God a number of months ago, and I didn't recognize it at the time, but I realized this week, that was probably from God and not just my own thinking. So a number of months ago, probably back in February, one of Gary's clients was going on holiday, then having an operation, and wanted to book Gary and his team in for Friday's job. Gary came home and told me, and they needed to book this extra man who had experience, qualification, and who was really good.
Particular skills outside of our skill set. Yeah. That'd help us.
And back when Gary told me, I just had this, it's like a check in my spirit. It was just this sense that that is not a good day to book him for. I rationalised it away by, him and the family normally go away that weekend, so, yeah, that would be why. They usually, go take an extended weekend. Yeah, that's probably why. The guy had said to Gary, I've definitely got it set aside, definitely no hassles. And I just had this feeling whenever Gary would bring it up, I'd go, I really don't think that's right. I think you should change the day. And this. The client has spent a lot of money with us. We need to we value all clients, but we need to really be careful with this client.
Or make sure that we service this client appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Gary rang the worker the other day. Yep, totally fine. Then earlier this week, the worker rang Gary and said, this thing's out of my control, but I can't come Friday. And I realized then it wasn't just me and my thinking, it was a God prompt back in February that made me think that. And so in future, I really need to go with that. So Gary, what have you had any time this week where you feel that you've heard God?
Yeah, on this past Monday, we received an email from a client and they were struggling financially. That's what she detailed in this email, to the point where she's waiting on some money from Centrelink and she's got all these bills. The bottom line was, hey, Gary, please, don't call me, I'll call you. She wanted to put her regular lawnmower on hold. But I thought, no, that's not the way to go. And I got back to her and said, look, not only I feel that we need to continue mowing for you, but we need to do it free for the next 2 months. That was a prompting I had from God. And this woman was totally blown away by what I sensed that I needed to do. But I really believe it was a prompting from God. It was a word. It was just a sense and knowing that was what I should do. And, yeah.
I was actually quite excited when you rang me and told me what was happening, because I'd checked the emails that morning when I got up and seen this email from that client and made you aware. But I'd also felt, I think, Gary, you need to continue mowing and do it for free for the next, because she said, can I just put it on hold for 2 months? And I'd felt, can you do it for free? What will Gary think of that? I didn't suggest, but I just left it. And then when you told me that you'd had the same prompting from God, I went, oh, isn't God good?
Wow. Where two or more agree or are gathered and agree, especially when your wife agrees, that's brilliant.
So today we're looking at what are some strategies to help us when we're having a bit of trouble hearing from God. My first principle is always ask a different question. Now, this really was highlighted to me probably about 4 years ago. I'd been to an Anzac Day service where our son was marching with the Air Force cadets. And then during the service, I actually became quite emotional. Like, I wasn't sobbing my heart out, but I had tears. I was just like, oh, that is unusual for me. So on the way home, I was in the car on my own, and I've learned to go when I have an unusual response to something or a response I don't expect. I then flesh that out a bit with God. So I said to God, God, why did I respond that way? Didn't hear an answer. Like, what was triggered, or why? What's underneath those tears? Why did I cry? Still no response. And 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh. And I went, oh, perhaps if I asked the question a bit differently and I said, God, was my response with those tears appropriate? And immediately I heard from God, yes, Jane, you were just so grateful for all the veterans that have fought for your freedom, have given their life, given their time, and fought for your freedom. Was a totally appropriate response. And that really taught me, wow, sometimes we just need to ask a different question. Now, other times when I'm having trouble hearing from God, I try to sort of change things up a bit. I love going for a walk on the beach, especially if it's rough weather and it's sort of blowing a gale and maybe even raining. That walk on the beach with the waves just thundering in, I actually hear God really well. So for me, that's a real key. I might put on even different worship music that I'm not normally, don't normally enjoy or not sort of my style, maybe fast. Even reading a different version of the Bible, I find really helps. And it's like spicing up my relationship with God. You know how with couples, you husband and wife, you need to spice up your relationship every so often.
Oh, like, right.
I love Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So if I'm wanting the next step, the Bible, God's word, shows me that next step that I'm to take. I even sometimes ask the question, am I enjoying my relationship with God?
So Jane, are you saying sometimes we treat God like Santa Claus? It's almost as though we're not hearing, or we think we're not hearing God because he's not answering us in the way that we want him to answer.
Oh, that's so good. I think that's a key point. Another key point, I think, is turning our heart and affections to God. Over the last couple of years, I've been really learning that praise shifts the atmosphere. Psalm 100, verse 4, says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When I start thanking God and praising him, it's like the floodgates open.
It's as though something breaks, doesn't
yeah.
it? Wow. All right, the second principle. Let's look at what the second principle is. Check our obedience. Are we being obedient to what God has already said to us? Or is sin, fear, ignorance getting in our way? Is it perhaps stopping us? Do we have a lack of fear of God or unbelief in hearing God or needing more assurance? A sign from him that he is speaking. Sometimes we may have a preconceived idea of what God would sound like or what he would say.
Well, I think even then what you said before about feeling that we're not hearing God because we're not getting the answer that we wanted. And I think Moses in Exodus 3 and 4, when Moses was going about his business, he saw an unusual sight. There was this bush on fire that it didn't burn up. So he went over to check it out. God caught his attention. And I've learned, when you see an unusual sign, check it out. There's something in that from God. So God caught his attention, showed up with this miraculous sign, and then an audible voice told him to go and address Pharaoh. Moses refused 5 times. Moses said, "Who am I?" Then, "Who am I to do that?" Then, "What if?" God clearly explained the process again of what to do. Then Moses said, "What if they don't believe me?" So then God performed 2 more miracles, got Moses to throw his staff on the ground and it became a snake, and also put his hand in his jacket and came out with leprosy, put it back in, hand was clean, and then promised him another one about the water from the Nile River. And then Moses still complains and still protests and says, "I've never been eloquent. In fact, I can't speak or think quickly." And God says, "I'll put the words in your mouth." And Moses still protests again by saying, "Please send someone else."
Well, that seems to be a lot of guys in the Bible that, when God clearly says for him to do that, "Hey, send someone else, not me. I can't speak. What can I do?"
I think sometimes we don't realize our identity as a son or daughter of God, and also not having that magnitude of the greatness of God. I can remember a dream I had, probably 10 years ago. We'd gone on holidays and it was the first night of holidays, and I said, as I went to sleep that night, I said, "God, can you please show me while we're on holidays what I'm meant to do about nursing?" I was full-time homeschooling and would work twice a month nursing on a Sunday or public holiday for that bit of extra money and to keep my nursing registration. And over the last few years, I'd felt my time in nursing was coming to an end. But this time I went, "All right, God, can you just please show me what I'm meant to do?" Well, that night I had this dream. I won't unpack it fully here. We'll do an episode in future on dream interpretation. But it was about a friend's son committing suicide. Now, I've learned that when you have a dream about people, 95% of the time it's not actually about the person. It's about the symbolism of what that person means to you. So as I unpacked the dream on our holidays, I realized, whoa, I'm meant to give up nursing. Otherwise, nursing will be taken away from me. Well, well and good. I had this dream, got the interpretation, came back to Melbourne, continued on for another 5 years, still nursing twice a month. And I'd occasionally think of that dream and think, yeah, I'm not ready yet. The money's really good. And at that stage, I was being really active in praying for my patients and seeing amazing miracles, miraculous happen. So I thought, well, no, while I'm seeing the miraculous happen, I want to keep doing this. And then we had a change of boss. And within that first week of the new boss starting, 25 of the most experienced staff, full-time staff on our ward, left.
So this was at a specialist ward, coronary care ward,
yep,
in a private hospital.
Yeah. And so I won't say where. What happened then was Gary went out to the movies with the husband of another girl from work, and the husband was saying, "Oh, it's really bad at work and this and that's happening." And I'd been sort of sharing a bit of it with Gary, but not much. And Gary came home that night and he said, "Jane, I want you to resign from work. I forbid you from working there again." And immediately I went, Oh, how dare you say that? How dare you forbid me?
Would I use that stronger
word?
You did
actually. Oh. And but before I went to, I thought it, and as I went to open my mouth, I thought, oh, Jane, there was a check in my spirit. In over 20 years you've been married, Gary has never prevented you from doing anything. He's never forbidden you. Actually, he's right this time. You need to resign. And the very next day I resigned. So it was like it was taken off me. I didn't have the choice in a way.
But you did.
Yeah. The principle is be quick to obey. So Romans 12:2, we need to be courageous to walk out our God-ordained path, not conforming to what the world's expectations are and the patterns of the world, but to really be renewing our mind with God's principles and the word of God and his kingdom. Now, if you are having trouble in any of these areas, or if you're having trouble hearing from God for yourself, sometimes prayer ministry can be a really good way to just remove blockages. And we'll put some links to prayer ministry in the notes. Sometimes it can be hard to hear from God unless you have that initial relationship with God. If you would love to become a Christian and accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we will put a link to the notes in there, but please reach out to a church, especially a church that runs the Alpha program, or ask a friend, someone you know who's a Christian, to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour.
Brilliant. Let's transition into the next principle, Jane. A third principle, God may appear to be silent or the answer looks different to the expectation that we have. There was a prophetic word that I gave to a young woman. I just sensed there was three doors that were open and she could make the decision that she wanted to step into one of those doors, that she had freedom to be able to step through it. Now, she wanted to have a bit of a chat at the end of the prophetic word, and I perhaps asked the question, hey, how does that sit with you? Or it might have been that she actually asked me, can I share a little bit about my situation? And she was trying to get a bit of an idea about what she should do as the next step or the next season of her life. She actually had three job opportunities. And what was so exciting about what I sensed for her was that God gave her the freedom to decide which one. She didn't need to get caught up with a particular one was the right one and the others were the wrong one, but God was giving her the freedom to step in.
I love that. So even though she was having trouble hearing from God because she couldn't hear which one he wanted her to go through or choose which opportunity, he was actually saying, in fact, you choose. I think all three of them are great. Sometimes it's our preconceived idea of what we think.
Maybe God that it has to be a definite one more than the other.
Yeah. Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants to answer us. God's ready and willing to answer us. And it's just us looking at how we go about that. And do we need to fast? Do we need to spend time really seeking after God and devouring God's word?
So there's another verse, great promise, found in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable or hidden things you do not know. Or Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the bottom line is, am I devouring God's word? Am I fasting? Or as Jane has said, am I fasting? Am I meditating? Am I just allowing God's word to really creep into, sort of soak into my mind and my heart, my will, my emotions? It can be so helpful.
Now, sometimes I find that God has already given me or shown me or promised me something and I need to step into it. Just like in Deuteronomy 1 verse 8, where God said, "See, I've given you this land. Go in and take possession of it. It's the land I swore I'd give your fathers and to the descendants after them. So just go in and take it." And it's sometimes we have to just make that decision and go for it. Something else I've realized too is to speak life over the situation I'm in. So Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now that's the Lord speaking, but our words have a huge impact. I've got great teaching of that on my unlockingthegold.com site. Sometimes we need to start declaring the answer and then wait and see it come to fruition.
So you call it decreeing, declaring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really speaking life.
Yeah.
So have you ever asked God, "God, what are you not saying?" So you know how our first principle was ask God a different question? Perhaps if we ask God, "What are you not saying?" it then narrows down the chances. Our son got some job offers the other day, a list of jobs he could apply for in the Defence Force. So there was a huge list. So we went, "All right, let's cut off the ones, cross out the ones that you don't want." And when we did that, there was 5 left. And we went, "Oh, there we go." It makes it so much clearer to see when you've got rid of all the other stuff. So, God, what are you not saying? Now, sometimes with hearing from God, the gift giver exercise can be really helpful. So I'll just do it now with people, and we'll use this as the prophetic activation for this week, Gary. So in your imagination, just go to a place where you feel close to God, a place where you hear God's voice easily. So for me, it's like at the beach. It might be in your favourite armchair, might be in nature, might be in the car. Wherever you commune, chat with God, just go there in your imagination. Turn your heart and thoughts to God. And just take a moment to imagine the smells, the sounds, what it feels like, looks like, tastes like. And then just imagine that Jesus comes into that picture and he's walking towards you, and in his hands, he's got a gift. So just imagine that, and imagine Jesus coming right up to you, and he's got this gift in his hand. What does the gift look like? How is it wrapped? Is it in a box with a bow and ribbon? What color does it look like? And then watch as he gives it to you. Do you need to unwrap it? Savor that experience. Look at what the particular gift is. You might need to ask God, "Why?" or "Jesus, why have you given me that? What's that for?" But sometimes that, just imagining that process, what we call the gift giver, can help break a blockage that we may have in hearing God, because it's Jesus has something for us that's coming in a different way.
Well, for me, as I was reflecting hearing God, as you were saying that, Jane, I sensed I was down at the beach and Jesus walked up to me, gave me a satchel, and that satchel or that bag was representing the fact that wherever I was going, wherever I was, Jesus would be with me, that I would carry his presence no matter where I was. Hey, that was exciting.
Wow. Sometimes we may see a wall or have feel there's a wall between us and God. So a great idea is to ask God, "Is there a tool that you would like to give me to destroy that wall, to get rid of that wall? Or conversely, do I have to climb over it?" Or whatever. That's another way of looking at it. Gary, we might skip the prophetic word today for people, but would you like to just pray? We're running out of time, but would you like to pray for our listeners?
Father, we want to thank you for your presence, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, that you're always there with us. And Father, may we ask the right question. May we experience your presence. May we be able to commune with you, clearly hear from you. May we just have such intimacy with you. Father, we just thank you for being our Heavenly Father, being the Father that is with us all the time. It just wants to give us good things. Father, just bless you in Jesus' name. May we each be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we finish today, just ask God who he would love you to share this podcast with, which group of people, which person, and then share it with them. Thank you so much. In our next episode, we're going to be looking at strategies for when your mind goes blank when you're hearing God for others. So when you're prophesying to other people, what happens when your mind goes blank? What are some strategies that you can use? Thank you.